All right, and please bow your heads with me as we prepare to reflect on those words. Well, Heavenly Father, we again thank you for this time of worship here this morning, and we thank you for this season. All of us, Lord, are looking forward to Christmas at this point. We're looking forward to our Christmas celebration, but we are thankful we have an opportunity to prepare, just as Heather was sharing with the kids earlier, to prepare our hearts as we look to Jesus in faith, as we remember who he is and what he has done for us, Lord, that as we celebrate his birth, we might fully understand what it is that we are celebrating. So be with us and work in us in this way, right here and right now, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, Happy New Year to all of you, right? And I know some of you might think I'm crazy when I say that, but no, when they fixed my heart, they didn't screw up my head. And I have not visited Colorado anytime recently. But as I explained to you a couple weeks ago, here in the church, this is the beginning of the church year, right? We start the church year with the season of Advent, which leads us up to Christmas. So again, it's the start of a new year for us. And as Heather was sharing, Advent, it's a season of waiting. It's a season of preparation. It's a season of waiting as we remember the promise of the Savior that was given throughout the Old Testament scriptures and how the saints of old eagerly expected his coming. And it's also a season of waiting for us as we remember the promise of Jesus' return. And again, we eagerly expect his coming to us. It's also a season of preparation as our hearts are prepared to celebrate the birth of Christ in just a few weeks. It's a season of preparation as we are reminded exactly what this means for us. And it's a season of preparation as in this way, our hearts are again prepared for his return. So throughout the Advent season this year, we're going to look forward to Christmas. And we're going to look forward to the return of Jesus by remembering who he is. We're going to focus our attention upon his identity for the next few weeks. And we're going to see why this is so important for us. And of course, we're not going to be able to cover every aspect of who Jesus is and what that means for us. But we are going to look at four. And we're going to look at four that pop up for us in that scripture lesson that was read to you again from the first chapter of Hebrews. And I'm going to throw it up here again on the screen. We're going to read through it again just so you can see what we're going to be doing. But let's read together. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. And here's kind of where we're going to pick up for Advent this year. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Now, if we look through that scripture, there are a lot of things that are mentioned to us about Jesus. And if we took them all and broke them down, it would take us weeks to do that. And maybe that would be fun. But again, we're going to look at four of them. And of course, for today, I think I picked out the hardest, the meatiest, so hopefully you can keep awake as I share all of this with you today. But we are told, first of all, again, picking up in that verse 3, that Jesus is the radiance of God's glory. And this is an interesting statement. It's interesting because as it was summarized by one of the early church fathers named John Chrysostom, it tells us that Jesus is light from light. Again, it's a really interesting statement, and he says it this way because of the way the glory of God is understood, the way it is pictured in Scripture. So often in the Bible, as God revealed himself to the people, he did so as a bright cloud by which he revealed his presence and his power. And Jesus is the radiance of that glory. He's the brightness or the brilliance of that glory. And so again, it's one of those just interesting statements. In other words, he's the luster of the brightness. He's the radiance of the brilliant. He's the splendor of the luminous. He's the light that shines forth from the light. He's the glory that shines forth from glory. The author of Hebrews then goes on to describe Jesus as the exact imprint of God's nature. And this brings to mind the image of the wax or the clay seal that was used in ancient times, oftentimes by royalty or by those in authority. And when such a seal was pressed into hot wax or into soft clay, it left the exact imprint of the seal. And in the same way, Jesus is the exact expression of God the Father. He is the perfect revelation of the Father. In other words, when we look to him, when we listen to him, we both see and we hear the Father. And both of these pictures, both of these descriptions tell us a couple of important things. They tell us that Jesus is, first of all, a distinct person. And they tell us that at the very same time, he is one with God. He shares the nature or the character of God. He shares the essence and the substance of God. So again, as Jesus is the radiance of God's glory, we see that the radiance is distinct from God's glory. And as Jesus is the exact imprint of God's nature, we see that the imprint is distinct from God. So again, they are two distinct persons, yet at the same time they possess that very same nature. He's, again, the light that emanates from light. He bears the exact likeness of the Father. And what you see here this morning is that this gets us into that whole theological concept of the Trinity, right? Into that whole biblical concept of the Trinity. The Bible teaches us that God is three persons. However, those three persons share the very same nature. And what I mean by this is that, again, the Father is a distinct person. The Son, or Jesus, he is a distinct person. And the Holy Spirit is a distinct person. They are not one person revealing himself in three different forms. They are, again, separate individual personalities. However, even though this is true of them, they share that same nature. As the Father is God, so too is the Son and the Holy Spirit, yet they are not three gods, but one. And we see this truth all over the place in Scripture. One other place we see it, and we'll look at it real briefly, is in John chapter 1, starting in verse 1, where we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." Now the word in this passage, it refers to Jesus. And we don't see it here, but later on in this chapter, in verse 14, we are told that the Word became flesh and lived among us. And so in this way, it's clearly speaking to us of the Son of God, who took on human nature as we remember at Christmas time and lived alongside his creation. But as we look at these words up here on the screen, we notice first of all that the Word, that Jesus existed in the beginning. In other words, he existed before all else was made, and this tells us that he is eternal. It tells us that he has always been and that he always will be. And this is something that is true only of God. It's true only of God because, of course, everything else was created. It's true only of God because everything else that exists, it had a beginning. And even us, even though we were made by God to live forever, and even though in Jesus this has been made possible for us to live forever, there was a beginning to our existence, right? And we see also in these words that the Word was with God. And this, again, as I mentioned a moment ago, reveals to us that Jesus is a distinct person. He's distinct from the Father. After all, you can't be with yourself, right? You can't be with somebody if you are that person. The only way you can be with somebody is if you are distinct from them. But while this is true, we learn that the Word is God, as John says it in this text. Even though he is distinct from the Father, he is also God. Like the Father, Jesus possesses the divine nature. And this was always true of him. We are told that he was with God in the beginning before all things came to be. We then see that all things were made through him. Without him, John tells us, nothing was made that has been made. In other words, all things came into existence through him. Now, if you're like me, and I suspect that most of you are, when you think of the creation of all things, your mind goes all the way back to the beginning of the book of Genesis. We remember the creation account that is described to us there in detail as God worked his way through each day of that creation. And as we think of it, we tend to think only of God the Father as our creator. However, we learn here that Jesus, the Son of God, he was also involved in that work of creation. And again, this is a characteristic of the divine, which once again tells us that Jesus is God. And finally, we are told that in the Word was life. And what this means as we read it is that the Word, that Jesus is the source of life, that life is received through him. And again, this is something that we tend to associate only with God the Father. Our mind once again goes back to Genesis, just a chapter later from where we were before. And it goes back to that instance when God first created man. We remember how God formed Adam from the dust of the earth. We remember how God breathed into him the breath of life. And for this reason, we tend to believe that God the Father alone is the source of life. We tend to think that life is found only in him. And life is found in him, but life is also found in Jesus, which again tells us that he is divine. Now, my point in all of this is to reiterate the truth we are talking about here this morning. Although Jesus is distinct from the Father, although he, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit, are separate persons, they have that same nature. They are all God. They are all divine. However, as we state in the Nicene Creed, they are not three gods, right? They are one God. They are one divine essence in three persons. And I know, as I mentioned, this is heavy. It's a difficult concept to understand. In fact, every time somebody tries to illustrate it, it usually ends up falling short. It ends up bordering on heresy in some way. We've all heard the illustration of God being like a three-leaf clover, right? We've heard the illustration of God being like an egg, where you got the yolk and you have the white, and then you have the shell. And we've heard the illustration of God being like the forms of water, right? Ice and liquid water and steam. But again, none of these illustrations truly convey what the Trinity truly is. They all fall short. The Trinity is one of those realities that's simply beyond our comprehension. And it's beyond our comprehension because it's something with which we're completely unfamiliar. It's something that we have not and cannot see in the world around us. And for this reason, it's something with which we struggle. It's something that fills us with questions. In fact, it's something that fills us with doubt. Yet again, throughout Scripture, this reality is clear. And no matter how difficult it may seem, this truth, this reality is important, and it tells us a great deal about Jesus. And in a nutshell, it tells us that Jesus is God, right? It tells us that Jesus is divine. It tells us that in every way, Jesus, the Son of God, that he is equal with the Father. He was not created, as some belief systems tell us. He had no beginning, as we are told by others, nor is he less than the Father in any way. And it also tells us that Jesus reveals to us the Father. And this is where we're going to focus our attention right now. He makes the Father known to us. In other words, if we want to know what God the Father is like, we need only look to Jesus. Now, we often ask, we often long to know, what is God like? Right? It's a question that goes through all of our minds. And the reason for our wonder is obvious. It's obvious because God is a being that, generally speaking, we cannot see, right? Although he's done so in miraculous ways throughout history, God is a being from whom we don't audibly hear, right? And God, again, he is a being that we cannot touch. We all tend to have a picture of God in our mind, of what we envision him to be. most of us, we tend to envision him as that old man, right, with a long white beard, sitting on his throne with a long white robe. We envision him sitting there with his glory shining forth, brighter than the sun. But again, this is just a concept of our imagination. And if asked to describe God, if asked to tell somebody who God is and what he is like, we simply do not know what to say. Jesus, however, repeatedly tells us that he is the revelation of the Father. In fact, this is why John, in that verse we just looked at, he referred to Jesus as the Word. He is the very expression of God the Father. Now, when I say this, of course, we're not talking about physical appearance. Even though, yes, God has revealed himself in human form at various times in history, God is a spirit. And his physical appearance, quite frankly, does not matter. What we are talking about here is the nature of God. We're talking about the character of God. We're talking about his qualities. We're talking about his attributes. And many insist that Jesus and the Father are different. They tell us that while Jesus is loving and merciful, the Father is judgmental and vindictive. They believe that the God that we read about in the Old Testament is very different than Jesus, that he's very different from the God we read about in the New Testament. They insist, again, that there is a big difference, a distinction between the two in terms of nature and character. However, look with me real quick at the words of Jesus in the Gospel of John, later on in that book. In verse 19 of chapter 8, Jesus says this, and he's speaking here to the Jews, but he says, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." And so in these words, Jesus is telling us that the key to knowing the Father, that the way to knowing the Father is to know him. And he states this several times and in several ways, but what he is telling us here is that we cannot know the Father apart from himself. And so a person cannot claim to know God while at the same time they reject Jesus. They cannot truly claim to have faith in God while failing to believe in Jesus. And this tells us that those religions which claim to be monotheistic, which claim to worship only one God, they are not the same as the Christian faith. It tells us, for example, that the God of Islam, he is not the God of the Bible. He is not the God of Christianity. In the same way, it tells us that the God of modern-day Judaism, no, that is not the God of the Bible. It's not the God of Christianity. Now, going on to verse 28 of that chapter, Jesus says this, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man," referring to his crucifixion, "then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me." And again, we see in this passage the unity or the oneness of the Father and the Son. Although they are indeed separate persons, they don't operate independently of one another. Jesus says that he does nothing on his own. He does nothing by his own authority. And the words that he speaks are those given to him by the Father. So again, this tells us that when we hear the word of Jesus, or when we read the word of Jesus in our Bibles, we are hearing the word of God himself. It's one and the same. We see something very similar in the 14th chapter of John. Now, Philip, in this chapter, he addresses Jesus saying this, "Lord, show us the Father, and it's enough for us." So again, he was wanting to see God the Father. And here is how Jesus responded to him. "Have I been with you so long and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves." So again, Philip, he began this conversation by making a statement most of us would echo. He asked Jesus to reveal to him the Father, and again, most of us would like nothing more than for Jesus to do that for us. We would like nothing more than to see God the Father for ourselves. But hearing this request, Jesus corrects Philip. In fact, he chastises him. And he tells Philip that he is in the Father and that the Father is in him. They are one. He tells Philip that to know him is to know the Father. And he again says that he doesn't speak on his own authority, but what he speaks is nothing less than the Word of God. And at the very least, Jesus told him, believe on account of the miracles he had done. And Jesus, as you know, had performed countless miracles. He did things that no man could do, things that only God himself could do. He made the deaf to hear. He made the blind to see. He made the lame to walk. He even made the dead to live. And all of this reveals beyond the shadow of a doubt that Jesus is God. And thinking of this then, what a miracle is the message of the incarnation. What a blessing is the miracle of Christmas. It's a miracle because Jesus is not a mere man. He isn't merely a prophet. He isn't merely a person who has been sent to us by God. It's miraculous because in Christmas we see how the Son of God became man. We see how God himself was born into this world and how he was born in the form of a baby. And we see how the one true God took on flesh and how he lived among us. And because of this, we can know God. Because of this, there is no question regarding God's nature. There is no question regarding his identity. And please don't misunderstand what I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to suggest that if you're mature enough in your understanding of God, that you'll get to the point where you'll have no more questions. I'm not suggesting that as you grow in faith, you will ever come to a perfect understanding of God. Again, our finite minds simply cannot comprehend the infinite. However, because of the miracle of Christmas, because Jesus was born into the world, we know absolutely who our God is. We know what God is like. We have a clear picture. We have a clear understanding of the God that we worship. Now, perhaps as I say this, you're thinking to yourself, well, believers in Old Testament times, they sure seem to understand God. Perhaps you're thinking that they had a really good picture of who God is and what he was like. And this is true to a point. I'm not denying that. But in Jesus, this is made clear. In Jesus, we come to a much greater understanding of God. And we do so because not only do we hear of him, not only are we taught about him, but in Jesus, we quite literally see him. In Jesus, we have a greater understanding because God came physically into this world and lived among the people that he has made. And so if we have questions when it comes to God's nature, if we have questions as to who God is like, we need only look to Jesus. We need only look at who he is. We need only to look at the things that he has done. And when it comes to outreach, when it comes to teaching others about God, the same thing remains true for us. As we seek to make God known, whether you're teaching Sunday school or sharing a children's sermon, or whether you're teaching your kids, or whether you're simply talking to a friend about the Lord, we can simply point them to Jesus. And we can do so because Jesus is the radiance of God's glory in the exact imprint of the nature of God. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you this morning for revealing yourself to us. And we thank you that you have done this in your Son, Jesus. And even though, Lord, we often struggle with who you are and what you are like, even though we often struggle with how we can describe you to others, we thank you, Lord, that we can do so in this wondrous way. We thank you that by simply pointing to Jesus, we can know, we can understand the Father. And so help us, Lord, to look to Jesus. Help us, Lord, to point others to Jesus in the Christmas season, but also in the days ahead. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.